I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural disasters,
and eventually the end of the world. Are you serious? Okay, we're doing things a little bit differently this show. We're acting just like it's the weekend because we have two of our favorite guests here. We have science fiction writer and video storyteller Richard Cadre with us. His latest book, Butcher Bird. Somehow it sounded like it felt like that would sound right. His latest book, Butcher Bird.
That's it. Novel Butcher Bird.
A novel of Dominion is published by Nightshade Books, and we will have a link to that on areyouseriousradio.com. And comedian Will Franken, he's been with us several times. His recent show, Grandpa, It's Not Bitten, has been getting rave reviews, and I understand it's been extended.
Extended till September 1st.
Okay, where's that happening?
Marsh Theater, 1062 Valencia Street here in SF.
Okay, those of you in San Francisco, don't miss him. And podcast fans need to check out his hilarious podcast, Things We Did Before Reality. So those are the guys, and let's talk shit.
Let's do it.
All right, so in the early 20th century, a madman and writer named Antonin Artaud declared, all writing is pig shit. And then in the 1920s, you had the Dadaists. They declared anti-art as a statement of the pointlessness of art in light of the slaughter of World War One. And then, of course, all these people were actually doing art, while at the same time they were challenging the value of making stuff, and certainly they were challenging the value of making stuff that would be permanent artifacts. And yet we, most of us, we do press on making stuff, many of them artifactual, stuff you can hold in your hands and take home. So is there an intrinsic value in all this cultural stuff like books, recordings, paintings, films, and so forth? And what is it? And should we look back at the Dadaists with...
First of all, why pigs? Is there something special about pig feces?
I don't know. I mean,
feces in particular.
I'm not sure if there was a reason why he picked on
Sharon Tate
pigs particularly. I mean, Artaud was completely mad. I mean, it just you know, whatever popped into his head.
Maybe there
were a lot of pigs. He was in France.
Or, he was in Paris.
Maybe there are a lot of pigs.
He helped run one of the Surrealist bookstores.
Right.
Now, as much as Artaud could help run a bookstore.
Artaud, he was kicked out of the Surrealist
theater of cruelty. I think. Was that him?
He invented something.
Yeah,
that was the theater of cruelty.
There were some shows where people would come in, and as the ushers were actually required to like throw them in their seats, and I forget what the production was, but
It was sort of like the early 20th century Kipper Kids. You remember them in the 80s? It was this performance duo down in L.A. That was very violent and very messy. It was sort of the art version of Gallagher. It was sort of performance art guar. If you were sort of close to these guys, you would probably get at least flour, but probably, you know, pig bits and blood on you.
Wow.
The guy who would bring like lambs into. He came to the university.
And then there was Charles Manson.
He did art like
pregnant women getting stabbed. A little pretentious.
Charlie was a little pretentious, over intellectual.
He's doing prison art now. He makes monsters out of his socks.
That's a bold performance art to do there.
He was definitely. So was Charlie a Dadaist? What do we think about the
he was the end result of that, I think. Actually,
you think Charlie?
Slippery slope.
In a weird way, he was sort of the end product.
I agree.
Awful lot of the bullshit and the manipulation that comes out of social and art movements. I mean, he was the perfect
high five. I totally agree.
High five and clap.
But that includes
it was a very sort of polite high five with the radio.
But you're including Dadaism and Surrealism.
All art. Yeah. I mean, because Dadaists and the Surrealists were also social movements, and a predatory con man like like Manson is the perfect guy to show up during the days of the hippie movements, in which you have a bunch of innocent ninnies, you know, waiting for a leader. And
it's kind of like, let's get loose and do anything. Okay, what's anything?
Which is the you know, if you remember, Andre Breton said the ultimate surrealist statement would be to shoot randomly into a crowd.
Yeah.
Right. Which, again, Breton was kind of a big pussy, so it was a bullshit statement.
There is an irony there. If it's a response to World War One and all the death and killing of that war, and then it leads to Charles Manson.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, the Breton thing was acknowledging the complete chaos. I mean, that's what happened to the French during the war. It's like dotted. I mean, it came in acknowledging that the world is complete chaos.
I think shooting at random into a crowd was sort of a theoretical point rather than
Again, when you consider what a whim Breton was.
But those ideologies, I agree. It's a slippery slope ideology because Manson went right to Berkeley. Like after he got out of the last, went right to Berkeley and got his first family member there. Yeah. And it was like when you have this like underlying, like there's a fine line between, I think, the utopianism and nihilism.
Right.
And I think the two kind of shake hands and that you get that kind of depressing nothingness sentiment that leads to kind of idiocy like that.
But also, I mean, you can't be too dour about it because, I mean, you do have the con man predator, Charlie Manson. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you do have a bunch of naive artists who really, in their heart of hearts, do want to change the world in a good way. I mean, the official Surrealist magazine was Surrealism au service de la Révolution. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted the revolution of daily life. I mean, the whole point of Surrealism, according to Breton, the pretty phrase is to place the visible at the service of the invisible, meaning a lot of people interpret Surrealist art as painting your dreams, which is sort of the Walmart retard version of interpretation of Surrealism. Mm-hmm. What Breton and those guys wanted to do was to, when you experience Surrealist art, was to induce the effect of dreaming on the person receiving the art. And that, again, almost like drug culture, that this act of conscious dreaming would somehow change you and never
really create a whole different society, actually.
I mean, right.
And then you mentioned...
I mean, again, it was incredibly naive, but...
Right, I think the Situationists that sort of came out of that, they're the ones who really talked about the revolution of everyday life, and is a fairly naive concept, but it does go back to my original question is, we create artifacts and artists in the 20th century, just many of them said, get rid of that, until they got famous and then sold them to museums as souvenirs. But
And you have Duchamp, who was selling stuff, but at the same time pretty contemptuous of it. The objects. I mean, the whole what was the name he used on his toilet?
Armut
to sell his little urinal.
Yeah. I think the problem is we're living in the shadow of all these revolutions. Like in 2007, we're living in, and I say this in regards to comedy. There was a comedic revolution in the late 50s and early 60s, and Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul and Shelley
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, and people that were twisting the Catskills notion of set up punchline, and today we're still living in that shadow. We're echoing the form that Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul popularized, which is contemporary stand-up, but we're not really breaking out of that. We're kind of living in the shadow. Kind of like the Sex Pistols in current punk.
But do you think
Sex Pistols was the end of rock and roll?
Have we become too constrained, or do we need to be a little more constrained?
I think we're constrained because we don't believe in anything anymore. Right. Like as a nation, as a culture, we don't believe in the good things that, for example, the Western civilization has produced. A lot of kids don't know their history. They don't even know about this revolution.
No one knows about history.
Exactly. They don't know about history.
And the Dadaists really wanted to attack Western civilization.
But now we're like, but when you open that up and you take away rules and you say, you've gotten rid of rules and you've called them all arbitrary and they're gone.
Right.
You set up a system where decades going on now that we're living in the shadow of this.
Right.
People aren't believing it.
Ahistoric people.
And you add the internet to it. As much as I love the internet and what we're doing here and what I do with my podcast and stuff, it's also made everybody and nobody an expert. It made everybody and nobody's an artist now.
Yeah.
More people than ever.
But I don't mind that part. I mean, the art and culture's always been full of kind of naive people who didn't know their history, didn't sort of know where they were coming from, and then kind of sort of, like a lot of punk artists, sort of stumbled into realizing, people have been doing this, again, since the Dadaists, and they didn't know about it. And then they could have some reference point. I think the difference now that worries me is this naivete through things like the sort of mediascape mm-hmm. being subsumed and taken over and made into a commodity,
oh, exactly.
taken over by the business yeah. world. I mean, how often on a commercial do you see, you know, interesting art ripped off mm-hmm. to sell a car? And I don't mean using an Iggy Pop song to sell a car, but yeah. actual physical art you've seen in some weird video, underground yeah. video or some...
It's like the latest African-American, like, street poet appeared in a McDonald's commercial like yeah. a week yeah. after he got yeah. well known.
But even in the early 80s, I heard Laurie Anderson talking about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
That what happens is all these kids go to art school, can't make a living, and then the ad agencies pick them up.
Dada isn't brought to you by Saatchi.
What happens if you have a situation now where stuff's being pawned off as art that's not right. even art or doesn't even claim to be, like Moby? Mm-hmm. How do you explain Moby? I think you can only have Moby in the year, you know, in the years after 2000.
But Moby's also a brilliant salesman. Moby made his living.
There's nothing brilliant about him.
No, he is. Moby didn't make the money from the records so much. Moby licensed every single song he's ever done.
Exactly.
And with the argument that yeah. through television commercials, people will hear good music more than any other radio, which is a brilliant argument.
But he's not good
for
music,
selling
though.
Yourself.
I mean, I think he's sort of coming from the ambient.
He's somebody else's music with a
Brian
drum machine
Eno,
on it.
Well, he's applied it to advertising or
to
or
sampling everybody else's better songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I you know where I stand on hip hop and techno. It's just this.
You stand not moving.
It's an abyss. It's like, I think it's...
Yeah, that's the problem, the whole standing thing. You're
what's that?
To move your feet with hip-hop.
You gotta move.
You gotta
shake
move.
Your bed,
I know. Man. I gotta move and run away from it. It's it's horrifying, you know? It's,
I have the sort of robot, you know, nascent cyberpunk part of my brain really still enjoys techno because it's like machines kicking you in the back of the head.
I know,
I
agree.
And I still enjoy that sometimes.
I think it's, what did the guy say, 90% of everything is crap? Only he was being
Theodore Sturgeon,
he was being way generous. It's really 99% of everything
next
is
door
crap.
To Ted Sturgeon.
What about
but
you can
the,
find interesting, like, funky hip-hop and stuff like that.
About Lou Reed did Metal Machine Music, which I'm sure you heard. I've never even heard it. I've just read about it.
My wife went to have an MRI, and we both said, you know, Metal Machine Music.
Yeah, it was his fuck you to the company. But at the same time, I don't need to buy that and listen to it. I just have to read the paragraph description of what it was.
That when it came out, in which someone described it as all the refrigerators in the universe defrosting at once.
But it's not a good album. Would you call it great work art?
No, I never really wanted to listen to it. There are some electronic noise albums that are listenable, but that one isn't.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, again, defining noise. I mean, is Merzbow more listenable than Metal Machine Music? And if it is, explain why.
How do you? It's hard to explain those things.
Yeah,
why is a Duchampian gesture better than a gesture by some other?
And you could
putting a basketball in a glass cage.
I don't know
something.
If Lou Reed ever made the argument, but you could certainly link Metal Machine Music and stuff back to the Futurists.
Yeah.
You know, and their weird art music was Luigi Russolo back in the Futurists and the crazy Frenchman, the Ballet Mécanique, things like that. There's been a lot of noise and music in the 20th century. Hell, even Rhapsody in Blue, was basically, if you listen to that, I mean, he was trying to incorporate Gershwin, a Broadway guy, was trying to incorporate, New York street noise, like 50 different kinds of music going on at once.
Right, and people think this is
a fairly straight composition. Yeah.
Well, speaking of music, we might as well listen to some, and then we'll be back with more talk.
Yes sir, yes sir. We gon' take it back like these and bows. Now nasty as I want to be. That makes me too loud for your crew. Oh, get down, get low. I'm crossing these moments like tic-tac-toe. Let's ride, let's go. Get loose, get drunk, get drunk, get blowed. That's right, let's roll. M-I-A-A-T-L, yo. Thing if you a nasty girl, man, that thing up said juvenile. So them chick old bitches like girls gone wild. Take off your dancing clothes, I wanna see you in the new. You can keep on your high heel shoes. Follow me down the yellow brick road. Ruffles go to see him come out the glow. Shake that thing, girl. Got me off in the club looking hard. Drop like this. If you wanna make the money, try to work that. Get a hump in your back and lift your arm. Do a 3-point stand with your flip of a step. You gonna be on the Kanye, what I'm playing like?
The shake a booty girls and the girls in the club with the real tight clothes. One time for your mind on the yin yang tip. You already know, you already know, you already know. We all for real. Don't tolerate that talking, girl. You can get the walking. Don't tolerate that talking, girl. Can get the walking, Patron is where I'm walking. The only way that we gon' talk if your girl smell like mine.
Girl, I'm here, cause you fine.
I kiss them, bro, I kiss them. I pack them, bro, I stack them. I kiss them, bro, I kiss them. I pack them, bro, I stack them. I kiss them, bro, I kiss them. I pack them, bro, I stack them. I kiss them, bro, I kiss them. Kiss them, kiss them, kiss them, kiss them, kiss them, kiss them. Kiss them, 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 kiss
presidential candidate Barack Obama has said he would consider sending troops into Pakistan. Some media reports have made it sound like an outright declaration of war, and this is what he actually said. Quote, there are terrorists holed up in those mountains who murdered 3,000 Americans. They are plotting to strike again. It was a terrible mistake to fail to act when we had a chance to take out an Al-Qaeda leadership meeting in 2005. We have actionable intelligence about high value terrorist targets, and President Musharraf won't act. We will, and that's the end of the quote. So I know I always kind of thought if I were president after 9/11, I would have said to the world, look, I'll make a deal with you. We're not going to launch any major invasions of nation states or any bombing raids or anything, but wherever these guys are, we're going to go after them and fuck national sovereignty. So, I mean, is this sort of what Obama's saying?
I mean, Mitt Romney, there was a Republican debate right after that. Mitt Romney already made a statement about Barack Obama. It was playing on CNN right now.
Barack
in
Obama.
Which, I don't know if I'm getting this 100% the words, but I'm paraphrasing. making fun of Obama, saying he went from Jane Fonda to Dr. Strangelove, you know, in 1 week. Which I love, because you're a comedian. You can comment on this. I mean, clearly Mitt Romney did not write that line. All these fuckers now have comedians on staff. Right. I know Dennis Miller was working, I think, for the Bush campaign. They have comedians to write those kind of jokes for him.
Well, my stance on this whole thing is unorthodox, I guess, for this neighborhood. We're in Iraq right now, and there's a lot of Islamic murderers that are killing children and car bombs and whatnot. And that's where we are. In the last 2 years, there's been this Darfur campaign. Let's go into Darfur. We need to go into Darfur instead, which is also Islamic violence. And now there's this new Islamic violence going on in Pakistan right now. And since the war is unpopular, I think largely because we're actually there, it's almost comical to see, you know, here's bloodshed, Sunni Shia, another mosque blown up today. We should go on Pakistan. You know, and I can just imagine a scene like 10 years from now where we'll be saying the same about Madrid or Paris or London. It's like we almost always want to be where we're not. And when I talk to people about Iraq, the first thing that comes out is, you know, we shouldn't have gone there in the first place. It's everything but the now of the situation. And I think for Obama to say that is basically to imply, I'm not serious. I'm really not serious about this.
Well,
because we haven't even brought up Pakistan. I'm going to throw that out there to give off the illusion that I am going to do something about Islamic violence, at least acknowledging it or hat tipping to it. But
well, the funny thing, too, is that you've got now that's actually kind of a role reversal from a Democrat to Republican sort of idealism versus realism perspective on foreign policy. You know, like a lot of Democrats have criticized Republicans for being idealists, saying we can change the world to democracy through our bombs.
Right.
And now you've got this statement by Barack Obama basically says more of an idealist statement. It doesn't recognize the reality.
It's a smokescreen.
Well, no. The problem is that Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and if we go in and destabilize Pakistan, then they could get that technology could go to terrorists who would then use it without any
restrictions. But that's the argument I think that's part of the argument Obama is trying to make, which is there is a huge insurgency building up in Pakistan right now. Musharraf was naive enough to try and make a deal with a lot of the tribal groups that are close to the Taliban, and they've been making moves on the capital, the Red Mosque incident recently. I think what he's sort of saying underneath it all is that whatever happens over there, we're not going to let the Taliban come back when they have a fucking nuclear bomb possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm coming down on one side or the other, but I do think that his statement is a bit premature and probably it's more about winning the election than it's about having fought this thing out
because Hillary Clinton challenged his level of sophistication.
Well, and all the Democrats said he would go talk
to leaders of other.
But they saw the Kerry election, and all the Democrats right now are trying to be harder than the Republicans. I mean,
they have to give off the illusion that they're interested, because around here, I mean, the mission really is the Berkeley of San Francisco, but around here, I mean, the attitude is that there is just like America is unilaterally wrong in everything that they've been doing for the past
ever.
It's kind of like this de facto truth that's put out there, and then meanwhile, you're dealing with like, can we curse on the radio?
In fact, you're only allowed to curse.
We're dealing with assholes. I mean, these people, like, when you strap an explosive to yourself or you drive a car bomb into a marketplace, you're an asshole.
Yeah, but we're dropping bombs from the sky.
We're trying to fight this war really cleanly and politically correctly and almost do social work. That's my theory about Bush. My criticism of Bush is that it's not that.
He's established the numbers don't match up.
The numbers, you can look it up on IraqBodyCount.net. I mean, the numbers don't match up. The number of civilians being killed by the Islamist, you're talking about 16,000, 17,000. Now, the left takes that number and applies it to the U.S. presidents, or we made them mad. We did unleash that.
It wasn't happening under.
But I mean, they've been killing each other forever, though. They've been like Fatah and Hamas. I mean, there is a very bloody.
That's not Iraq.
But I'm just saying these are Al Qaeda. These are very bloodthirsty rhetoric and ideologies.
The whole shock and awe thing. And the idea of having these Blackwater mercenaries in there.
Not mercenaries, just soldiers. I resent that term. My dad was a soldier. They're not...
No, the Blackwater? Blackwater.
I'm talking about Black Ops. I'm talking about Blackwater.
Half the people in there are paid mercenaries working for the company.
These aren't soldiers. They're ex-soldiers who are working for profit right over there.
I would take their side over both of my parents were soldiers, too. I'm very sensitive right here because I hear people all the time going, terrorist is a subjective term, and I get...
No. When I say mercenary, I mean specifically Blackwater, hired very bad people. Right. Read the book on them. The whole shock and awe thing, I mean, aside from Wolfowitz, comes out of something... The Republican fuckers like to blame Bill Clinton for bringing down the number of military officers. Right. Dick Cheney, back when he was Secretary of Defense, had the same plan. He's the king of outsourcing. His whole thing was to outsource military expenditures to private companies because they'll be, quote, more efficient. And so now you have guys like Blackwater, and what a coincidence, Halliburton, instead of the Army Corps of Engineers building stuff.
They're responsible to the companies that are in Iraq.
Well, they're also responsible for having too few soldiers. When we start dragging reserves and the National Guard, over there and running people through five tours over there. This is specifically Dick Cheney's little war here, and no one fucking knows it.
But if you had to throw your lot in with one over the other, like if you had to choose better or worse, I think we mentioned, and this goes back
to guys who walk into crowds and blow themselves up.
Yeah, but this problem, I think this is where that we just – it kind of connects to the Dadaist argument. There's no objective truth anymore.
You have to choose tactics also. And they should be ethical tactics if possible.
That's true, but I mean there's a difference between foreign policy with mistakes and a really theocratic, barbaric ideology which has been in place since the 7th century.
But I mean at one
point – George Bush is based on a theocratic
Who would you rather throw your weight in? I would rather throw my weight in with a nut job Christian who calls somebody a faggot than somebody who kidnaps a journalist and saws off a head. I mean, they need a reformation, a renaissance, and an enlightenment.
But I mean,
really
that's kind of like, do you prefer Britney Spears or...
Isn't part of what's going on... Okay, the tactics aside...
Yeah,
isn't what's going on in the Islamic world now about 100 years later than when we throwing our weight around? So we're just seeing a new version of that with much better weapons.
Here's a great analogy.
Internet, video.
Exactly. Do you want 1200 AD? Would you want Christians from 1200 AD to have access to nuclear weapons? I would say no. But apparently we can't. I mean, like the left, for example, around here, they cannot get their head around the idea that the president of Iran probably shouldn't have one. If you have a culture that approves of suicide bombings as martyrs or martyrs.
Well, I agree. There are people who pretend that this is not a problem.
It's not a big deal.
But there is a scary equivalency between the sect that the Shia sect that isn't up. It's one of the groups in power now in Iran.
And funding murders in Iraq.
Because
as well.
You have both of these are
and
end
friendly
of the world
with Iran,
cults.
Too.
I mean, you
not
have
to George Bush though, because who would you if you had to choose? Gun to
this
your
is
head.
A guy
you
who believes in the Book of Revelations.
I don't care. I think you're better off with one. I mean, is he perfect? No. Is he inarticulate? Yes, he is. Is he a great leader? Probably not. We could probably do a lot better.
I don't think we have to choose.
But the disease of relativism has led us to this point where we don't know what the fuck a terrorist is anymore.
Well, I mean,
a terrorist is ski mask AK-47s. Correct.
I'm arguing that this is bullshit. On the other hand, no, I'm not on the side of people who strap fucking bombs to kids.
Right, but if you continue to it's like the critique of U.S. foreign policy has escalated among the academics and the media to the point where. there is this great confusion that's out there now. That there is no.
I haven't heard much of it in the media.
There's no gradation of better or worse anymore between. You know, when we were at war.
Because we don't trust anything. We've been fucking lied to so often. It's hard to trust.
Well, we need a start. That's what. Trust is faith. It's like a Kierkegaardian precept of faith. Is it's a leap of faith. You don't know faith. You take a leap of faith and you say, if I had to throw my lot in with one or the other, I don't identify.
But in some sense, we're talking about throwing our lot in with one or the other in terms of Republicans or Democrats at this
Well, that's
point.
A black and white. Thing now anyway. I mean, I think they're all well, kind
if
of
talk, I mean, again, if you're talking about the devil, you know, yeah, there's, mm-hmm. there's George Bush and his bunch of assholes. And
but the devil, yeah, that's hyperbole. I mean, you admit
but that's
that.
The phrase.
Is it? I mean, but is that is, it's like George Bush equals Hitler. This is like
no, I'm
really
not, I'm
lunatic.
Not saying that. I'm, okay, I'm right, saying, I mean, right. The phrase is the devil, you know, and that's
yeah,
that's
yeah.
The
bullshit artist, you know. How's that?
Now, if Charles Manson was leading, I'd say, yeah, there'd be a little bit of relativism there, like a little bit, but. The guy's, well, you know the what, guy's a buffoon. He's a Texas buffoon, and he's clumsy.
He's a Connecticut buffoon pretending to be a Texas buffoon. I'm part Texan, so I have a lot of issues with his Texas stuff.
It's just, well, you know, in this neighborhood, you see a lot of mission chicks. They're really, really hot, man. Really, really sexy. You know, really want to bang this chick, man, and she's got a keffiyeh on. You know, which is the Yasser Arafat.
Hey, I have a keffiyeh. Half Arabic and Persian, so I have a lot of interesting theories about
I respect you, that's why I don't hold back on this, man. It's
fine. No, don't hold back.
I don't know what a keffiyeh is.
A keffiyeh is when Yasser Arafat got all dressed up, you know, death to the Zionist regime and all that bullshit.
Which, again, he's become an asshole sort of statement, but, you know, has a long history of not being an asshole statement in the same way that you know, clowns running around with the crucifix has become a very scary thing to see sometimes.
Where does that happen?
Well, Reverend what's his
where does it,
Reverend,
it doesn't happen.
Reverend what's his fucking name shows up at every funeral in America shouting God hates fags.
What, every funeral in America? That's hyperbole as well. We're talking about
it's hyperbole.
Every funeral.
My life is hyperbole.
What? I mean, a guy comes around to every funeral in America with a crucifix and does
no,
what?
He goes to soldiers' funerals.
He goes to public funeral. He goes
and you know what George – I heard about that. And he came in and he says, like, fags die or something. It was like some anti-homosexual thing. And George Bush passed legislation which prevented dickheads like that from coming to –
Well, because he was doing it at military funerals.
It doesn't matter because it stopped the guy from espousing anti-homosexual rhetoric.
I think it would be true to say that most people even the right-wing Christians don't like the God hates fags guy.
Well, I know
this guy's got this little family,
there was
psycho.
Actually a naked guy trying to get into the White House. Now, a lot of people don't like George Bush in the White House. I don't think they're on the side of a naked guy trying to get in the White House.
I might have to vote for the naked guy.
Even if you're genetically naked. You know,
and at the same time, I don't think even people on the right, you know, are trust a guy who's running around to every military funeral shouting God hates
Just
fags.
Like the left doesn't trust Cindy Sheehan. I mean, she's a nut.
Yeah.
I think the left is a little embarrassed by
She started out kind of interesting, but then it kind of, you know, she
devolved
into
lunacy.
Road,
yeah, because
she's just not very, very intelligent.
Well, people have tried to make her political, and she's just an angry mom.
Right.
She
had a background with a certain
Wait a second. She was from Berkeley, right?
I don't know. I don't know that.
I think she was from Berkeley. Is she from Berkeley? I think anybody from Northern California that she knew what the fuck she was doing politically.
If it's Southern California, we're the easiest people in the world to dismiss. I mean, let's face it.
She had a little bit of a lefty background, and she was a pissed off mom, and she's ineloquent and not very complex thinker. Not a great leader for her. But let's conclude here. Go around quickly. Yeah. Americans go into Pakistan if it's just to extract Al Qaeda.
I hate to say it. I mean, I was for going after the Taliban in Afghanistan. There's this part of me that hates the idea of bombing the shit out of another country. On the other hand, if you have real intelligence that these cocksuckers are hiding in the hills and you're not going to blow up a whole bunch of civilians at the same time, I say blow them the fuck up.
Jeff Deal, you want to comment on it?
Yeah, if you find out some sort of a way to lessen the possibility of a nuclear bomb going off somewhere, yeah. But that's my big concern is that if it ultimately results in an atomic bomb going off anywhere, it wasn't worth it.
Right. It could have the opposite effect, actually. And Will Franken, we'll close with you.
Yeah, I would say, I'm not a pacifist. So I would say that anything that we can do to you know, acknowledge what a terrorist is and go in there and mow them down. And, you know, because I think the thing that impresses these people, since they don't have a strong literary tradition right now, and it is all rooted in, you know, and I'm talking about terrorists specifically, it's rooted in Quran and Imam says this, I do this. I think the thing that they actually respect right now is violence. And I think this idea of dialogue is just going to, so let's take care of Iraq and then go mow down these fuckers before they get a nuclear bomb. Same with, and we need to whack the president of Iran. Like the ice pick in the back.
Oh, wait a second. We had a show about this.
Yeah, man. So, you know, yeah, take care of all this shit, man. It's getting big. And let's fight the good fight. Yeah. Churchill, baby.
I'm still not sure about whacking heads of state.
Whack him. His own people hate him. Did you know that? His own.
Well, of course.
They hate his fucking guys. Yeah.
He's, yeah. Iran has
a whole other argument.
Yeah. Iran has a very hip youth population. Well, I said at the beginning, I'll take my own position that I was very much in favor of extracting al-Qaeda wherever they were before the whole Iraq debacle. I'm not so sure that it wouldn't backfire at this point, but I'm certainly open to the possibility.
Love's the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?